You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, June 1st, 2021. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Texas Democrats thwart Republican voter suppression bill for now. A new report, the NSA partnered with the Danes to spy on our European allies. QAnon Republicans now expecting a U.S. Myanmar-style coup. Don't worry, we got a couple months, though, I think, before that happens. According to a draft memo, Joe Biden to take limited but very helpful unilateral immigration-expanding measures. Israeli opposition sees Netanyahu's exit within days. Filibuster reform moves to the foreground as Democrats tee up bills sure to be shot down by Republicans. Biden now seeking an international minimum corporate tax at the G7. The White House budget calls for an effective and essential repeal of the Hyde Amendment. And New York State may be close to single-payer health care with your help. Lastly, major anti-Bolsonaro protests in Brazil. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate, hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. 3-day weekend, weather not so great in these parts. Hope folks spent some time contemplating the lives that have been lost for and for what in this in the, I don't know, decades, centuries in which we've been waging war, very often just for the sake of extracting other people's resources. How many lives have been destroyed in the pursuit of those resources, both in terms of Americans and obviously the people who are subjected to our fighting those wars. There's one or two wars I would have supported contemporaneously. World War II, World War I, probably. That said, we're back, and we're with back. Me is Emma Vigeland, also back from her own little battle.
Oh, my God. Well, we're not going to share the details of the stomach situation.
Okay.
Well, it was not a fun time for me on this long weekend that I ventured on. Actually, by ventured, I mean from the couch to my head into the toilet bowl.
There
How's
you
that
go.
Sound?
Well, I guess you're now starting to give details of it. But glad to see that you are are doing better.
As I said, you know, silver lining. I lost some weight this weekend.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's a healthy, healthy response.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... there was another anniversary of sorts that was celebrated, actually, 100 years ago, as of yesterday into today, is the anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre. And this is, we are living in an era where I think that there has been, at the very least, at least in my lifetime, far more understanding and greater awareness of what happened in the years in Reconstruction and post-Reconstruction in this country that have been submerged in terms of the many massacres that took place in this country, essentially with white people angry that black people were getting some form of political representation, some form of wealth in this country. We're talking about really a 50-year period following the Civil War and even after Reconstruction. It culminates in, well, I don't know if culminate is the right word, but the Tulsa Massacre took place in 1921. In the teens, there was a real resurgence. I mean, it had been growing in the post-construction era. But by the time you get to 1920, the KKK had a massive presence in this country. 6 million card-carrying members out of a 100 million population. 6% of the country were avowed KKK members. And I mean, that's it. Maybe it was larger, but, so you need to understand that backdrop, what took place with the Tulsa Massacre. And also recall that in the decades prior, really starting in the late 90s, 1890s, the Supreme Court began, essentially what we now call is the Jim Crow era. And amongst that was an enormous amount of voting restrictions that were geared towards essentially preventing black people from voting in this country. That era ended in the mid 60s, and in many respects, and with the passage of the Voting Rights Act, and in many respects has been renewed, with the Supreme Court essentially debilitating the Voting Rights Act now 8 years ago.
And we're seeing that play out.
And we're seeing this play out. That's what's amazing. Right. Yeah. So we will start with this clip of a survivor of the Tulsa Massacre. She's 107 years old, I believe.
And Biden met with her.
Viola Fletcher. She was 7. And then we will take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about those measures that are aimed, or really not aimed. I mean, they're part of bringing back many of the voting rights restrictions that we saw prior to the Voting Rights Act. But here is Viola Fletcher, survivor of the Tulsa Massacre, remembering the event and making the case for reparations. Here it is. She's speaking to the House Judiciary Subcommittee.
I'm a survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre. 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 107th birthday. Today, I'm visiting Washington, D.C. for the first time in my life. I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to acknowledge what happened in Tulsa in 1921. The night of the massacre, I was awakened by my family. My parents and 5 siblings were there. I was told we had to leave, and that was it. I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see black men seeing being shot, black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see black businesses being burned. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear the screams. I have lived through the massacre every day. Our country may forget this history, but I cannot. I will not. and other survivors do not, and our descendants do not. When my family was forced to leave Tulsa, I lost my chance of an education. I never finished school past the fourth grade. I have never made much money in my country. State and city took a lot from me. Despite this, I spent time supporting the war effort in the shipyards of California. But most of my life, I was a domestic worker serving white families. I never made much money, but to this day, I can barely afford my everyday needs. I'm asking that my country acknowledge what has been happened to me, the traumas and the pain, the loss, and I ask the survivors and descendants to be given the chance to seek justice. Open the door. For 70 years, the city of Tulsa and its stream of charmers told us that the massacre didn't happen, like we didn't see it with our own eyes. You have have me here right now. You see Mother Randall, you see my brother, Hughes Van Ellis. We live this history, and we can't ignore it. We lost everything that day, our homes, our churches, our newspapers, our theaters, our lives. Greenwood represented all the best of what was possible for black people in America and for all the people. No one cared about us for almost 100 years. We and our history have been forgotten, washed away. This Congress must recognize us and our history. For black America, for the white Americans, and for all Americans.
So the Greenwood area that she's referring to is a neighborhood. It was about 35 acres worth of city that was literally bombed. Yes. From the air. And 300, to the extent that we have any real numbers on this, it is estimated that 300 black people were killed. And it was part of an ongoing, I mean, this was going around the country, had been going on in the 1890s. We've had a couple of interviews about people, various, similar massacres. And this, the reparations they're talking about here, I think she's talking about in terms of Oklahoma. In terms of Tulsa, but obviously you can extrapolate across. There have been many, many moments in our history where any sizable economic and societal and structural advancements of black people have been destroyed by white people. And that is not even including the systemic and the institutional and the governmental things that have prevented black people from building any type of wealth in this country.
Wealth was, a huge part of the Tulsa massacre. This was known as colloquially as Black Wall Street. And there was a reason that this prosperous area of black wealth was deliberately attacked.
Yes. And something to think about on
incredibly
this
powerful.
June 1st. Yes, yeah. Amazing. And also amazing when you contemplate, first off, we as a country are lucky to have someone who is 107 years old, who was there at that moment. I mean, I have an 8-year-old son, just turning 8, certainly is aware of the world around him at the time. But it is amazing that it has taken this long for the country to have any type of reckoning as to our past with these massacres. It is stunning. But thank goodness we had the opportunity to have her there. So, all right, quick break. When we come back, we will talk about what took place in Texas over the weekend which at the very least harkens back to, you know, that same era where there was attempts to disenfranchise, well, not attempts, successful attempts to disenfranchise black voters, people of color, frankly, low-income folks at that time. And what is old is sadly new again. We will take a quick break and be right back in a moment. Folks, today's show, sponsored by the sponsor of my breakfast. Did you see me when I was drinking? I was literally tilting the box over my...
Luckily for you, I was focused on something else.
There you go. Folks, my breakfast consistently, I don't know how many days a week, is made up of Magic Spoon. In my case, almost exclusively cinnamon these days.
Yes.
Though peanut butter will make its way in there. Chocolate will make its way in there.
I've been on a real peanut butter kick myself.
And I'm not going to lie, I literally this morning, before I even realized that we had the ad, went in, bought myself a new order of cinnamon, and then I went all in with the new flavors they got. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly. It's gluten free. It's grain free. It's soy free. It's low carb and it's GMO free. It's also your child complaints free. They love it. My kids do. With Build Your Own Box, you can have 4 of the available flavors to build your own very own custom bundle. The choices are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. You can even choose all of the same flavor if there's one you really love. I got a box of cinnamon. But they've got like two new ones out right now. I can't even remember what they were. It's like a donut flavor and I just went for it.
Wasn't it birthday cake?
I think it's birthday cake, but I think they have a new one. I don't know what it was. But I went for both. I just said, screw it. I'm doing it.
I mean, they really don't miss.
That's the thing. I'm a big cinnamon flavor guy. My kids, they fell in love with that, with their last special. Can I just say it? I'm going to say it. Cookies and cream. They fell in love with that one. So now I try whatever they got the new flavors. I try that one. Roll that out for the kids. They like the cinnamon. They like the frosted and the fruity and the cocoa, the chocolate, essentially. But I'm always trying to just mix it up for them. But they love it. And I feel good about giving you the food because there's no sugar. And it's got protein. A lot of protein. And it's, you know, it's low carb. It's GMO free. Go to magicspoon.com/majorityreport to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code MajorityReport at checkout. You'll save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, it's magicspoon.com/majorityreport. Use the code MajorityReport, save $5. Also, I don't shave as much as, you know, some folks would like me to.
You're not a madman character.
I'm not a madman character. However, I do like I like to have a good shave. I like to have a clean shave. And I like to also not pay an arm and a leg for it. Because that's as much a part of me as not shaving that much.
Yes.
With Harry's, you don't have to choose between a great shave and a fair price. And what is showing up? What's around the corner, Emma?
Summer.
Yeah.
And? Jesus, what?
Father's Day.
Oh, Father's Day.
Yeah. That would break my heart if I asked my daughter that and she didn't know.
Well, I'm not your daughter.
I understand, but I'm saying I'm speaking on behalf of your father.
Yes, well, if he were to ask me, I would have known.
Yeah.
As a father, you're offended.
Slightly.
He's offended well, on behalf of fathers.
Right now, you can redeem a trial set for just $3 or get $5 off any shave set when you go to harrys.com/majority. Your dad will like this. Harry's gift sets make a great gift for any guy in your life year-round. And their new graphite Winston razor handle is even engravable, so you can personalize your gift.
That is a good Father's Day gift. Shows you thought about it in advance.
Exactly. That's all he cares about. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price, still as low as $2 per refill. Harry's bought a factory in Germany. They've been making precision-engineered blades at that factory for over 100 years. Harry's design team combined a weighted ergonomic handle with their signature blade cartridge. It's a smart, simple razor designed for delivering a close shave along all the contours of your face with blades designed to stay sharp. They stand behind the quality of their blades so much they have a 100% money-back guarantee on harrys.com. For me, I think longtime listeners of the show know I like the trimmer blade head because it gets around the sort of idiosyncrasies of my nostril area, which I have now since found out that I have a deviated septum. So that's what that's about. But I also like the handle. I like the handle. It's like classic looking. It's weighted. I like it. I mean, it just makes me, I don't know, makes me feel good. I don't know why I have to justify enjoying things that are well-styled, but that's just the way I guess I grew up. Your dad will really appreciate an engraved one.
That's what I'm saying. Got the message.
Harry's is giving their best offer to Majority Report listeners. New Harry's customers get a starter set for just $3. Plus, Harry's is doing a limited time offer for all customers starting now through Father's Day, which, incidentally, June 19th.
Yeah, it's June 20th, actually.
All right, whatever. June 20th. Right around there. You should be. For me, I appreciate it when there's actually a two-day type of thing. Plus, Harry's is doing a limited time offer for all customers starting now through Father's Day, June 20th. You could take $5 off any shave set at harrys.com/majority. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/majority. Start your own Harry's journey. Or to save a few bucks on a special gift for a special dad in your life. Don't forget, your support makes this show possible. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you not only support the show, but you also get the show free of commercials. All right. So let's get into what took place over the weekend in Texas. There has been a lot of talk. Well, you can go back since the Supreme Court rolled back the Voting Rights Act. They gutted the preclearance provision, which 16 counties in about 14 states needed to go to the DOJ before they changed anything in their voting because of their history of racially targeted voter suppression.
And the Supreme Court essentially was like, racism's over, so we don't need this anymore.
We don't need this anymore. I mean, they almost literally said that.
Yeah, but that was the argument.
And they did say, however, that if Congress got back to the drawing board and created a new formula for what constitutes a need for preclearance, they'd be open to it. Now, this is incredibly egregious because they had rolled this back, I think it was 2013 or 2011. And within months, you had states, all of these states, imposing new voter restrictions. But it had all been reauthorized in 2007, almost unanimously. And I think it was Scalia said something to the effect of, well, they were just afraid in the Senate to vote against it.
Talk about judicial activism, deciding what the Senate thinks from your judge's chair. Doesn't seem to square with his position. Huh?
To the extent that there's anything that exists that is called judicial activism, it has to do with, I mean, to the extent that it exists, it is specifically substituting your reasoning for the legislature's when they have been explicit in reauthorizing a bill.
Or even worse, presupposing what their like internal fears are as senators. That takes it
and then saying like, and then we're going to discount them.
Right.
So, but put that aside. I mean, put it aside. I mean, that's what the reality is. And we have seen just an onslaught of these type of voter suppression. We have seen the gerrymandering. We've seen the Supreme Court refuse to deal with the question of gerrymandering. They are on the brink of basically saying that you can't even have independent commissions to deal with gerrymandering. And since Donald Trump's loss and the ginning up of election fraud, and understand, this has been a long-term Republican project. Make no mistake about this. This is not a Donald Trump innovation. You go back to 2005, 2004, Karl Rove is pushing U.S. attorneys. These are members of the Justice Department in each state. Bring me voter election fraud cases. And these U.S. attorneys couldn't find any. They could not find any. They could not bring any. And so what you had was the mass firing of a lot of these U.S. attorneys by the Bush administration. And it basically blew up into a big scandal.
Oh, this is just a Trump era problem.
And so the Republicans have been on and on with
this. Yes.
But Trump, you know, he is the culmination in many respects of all these Republican projects and just was a little better at marketing it and triggered the sort of authoritarian impulses of a significant portion of our population. He comes out, says the election was stolen. It motivates an assault on the Capitol. 140 Capitol Police injured. 5 people die in the course of it, in one form or another. There's new release of information for prosecutors today that the Oath Keepers had positioned quick reaction forces around the city, mm-hmm. some across the Potomac who had boats that were ready to come in with weaponry.
Yeah, it's part of their, you know, Call of Duty cosplay situation.
It was, but it gets you into the mindset of what these people were thinking. And you start to realize, like, this was as real as anything could be.
That wasn't to belittle it. It was more just to kind of just take a peek into the mindset of it.
Yes. And they knew, or at least that they thought they knew what was going to go down. This was not a spontaneous thing.
Yeah.
And it also spurred Donald Trump's it spurred this rash of basically laws to restrict people's voting. And the latest was in Texas. And it looked like this Texas thing was unstoppable. It would have banned after-hours voting. It would have prohibited ballot drop boxes and drive-through voting centers. It would mandate that all weekday early voting take place sometime between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., though draft language would further limit Sunday voting, early voting to a maximum between the hours of 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. It would make it illegal for elections officials to send applications to vote by mail to people who did not request one. It would bar counties from helping facilitate the distribution of unsolicited ballot requests. require voters requesting absentee ballot to provide their driver's license number or social security number on both their request for a ballot and their return envelope containing their ballot. It would impose a $1,000 a day fine on local election officials who do not follow prescribed procedures to update their voter rolls, criminal penalties on election workers who obstruct poll watchers, et cetera, et cetera. Can't register to vote online in Texas. The whole idea is we're just going to put as many obstacles as possible, and the totality of these will capture people. Like, I mean, we can see this even in the context of the vaccination, right? Like, look at the difference, like the vaccination rates. Once you hit the people who really want the vaccination, this is something that is going to save people's lives. And still, any type of obstacle, people don't do it. And so the idea is we want to discourage voting, these Texas politicians. And so the Democrats had no way of stopping this, or at least they thought at first they had no way of stopping this. And here is a Sarah Eckhart. She's in the 4th District of Texas, Travis County. She's going to explain why they wanted to block the Republican voting bill at the Texas legislature.
We were in a conversation across the aisle for 8 hours over Saturday night and into Sunday morning. We didn't leave the chamber until 6:30 a.m. after an eight-hour conversation with our Republican colleagues on the Senate floor. They remained unmoved. But the evidence is clear that this bill does not add integrity. It actually adds more than 10 criminal penalties and criminal enhancements. They are criminalizing people who are seeking to vote. They are doing this. It's no surprise that Republican leadership doesn't want Democrats winning, but Republican leadership also doesn't want to let in certain kinds of Republicans. The current Republican leadership only wants extreme culture war advocates who will take orders only from them. They do not want more people voting, Republican or Democrat. They only want their specific type of voter making it to the polls without intimidation.
Okay, so she outlines there that they were in conversation for 8 hours, and then she sort of implies what happens next, which is that Democrats in the Senate, the Texas Senate, realize, okay, if we're not here, there's not going to be essentially a quorum. And so we're going to go. We're going to leave.
Yeah.
This is reminiscent of the, I think it was the Wisconsin 14, who attempted to stop the bill that was killing health insurance and the right to work in Wisconsin under Scott Walker. And they basically left the state. They had to be brought back by cops ultimately. But here is Texas House Democrat Joe Moody explaining why they basically left they walked off the House floor to deny the Republicans their quorum.
The idea that you can break quorum is something that's is always out there, and when you're pushed to extreme, you respond to that with extreme. And so we always had that tool at our disposal. And at a certain point, it became very evident that the only way to stop this legislation, at least in the short term, was to not be present.
Why was this worth it? What was it about this legislation that made you stage this walkout?
Look, the right to vote is something that we hold very dear and near to our hearts. And for the people that we represent, it means everything. The franchise is something that was never taken for granted in communities like mine, and we will never take it for granted. And so when people come to challenge that and people come to take that away, we're going to do whatever it takes to maintain the franchise.
Now, The reason why this tactic works, at least in the short term, is that the session was coming to an end. There was a limited amount of time for this bill to pass. And by walking out, it has to be reintroduced and they have to go through the whole process again.
And what they also did was Texas Democrats, by basically forcing Republicans to adjourn and walking out, they also kind of torpedoed their own initiatives, which, like, you know, police reform was on the table, I believe. Bail reform was on the table. But I think the Democrats in Texas accurately understood that, okay, well, this is the existential threat to voting in our state, and they chose to blow it all up, exercise the nuclear option, right? I mean, this is, as, you know, the Washington Post article on this framed it, this is some kind of lesson for national Democrats. But leaving it to this, I mean, that was the right thing to do, because if this bill is implemented, then we're talking about Republican control in an undemocratic fashion in Texas, one of the largest states in the country, that is undoubtedly going to spread throughout.
And what's interesting about the efficacy of this type of thing is that Abbott was pissed. Greg Abbott, he was the governor. Mm-hmm. He said that he would, today, veto the section of the state's budget that funds the legislature after they walked out. Apparently, state lawmakers are paid $600 a month.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not nothing, but they also get a per diem of 221 day that they're in session, including both regular and special sessions. Now, here's the interesting thing. Abbott promised to revisit this bill later in the year when they're back in session. He said he will have maybe a special session to redraw the districts to do a little gerrymandering. There are some people that voting rights advocates in Texas say that the fact that he's not doing this right away suggests that the publicity around this has been has scared Abbott a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, because, I mean, it's not just, as Brendan pointed out to us, it's not just the state senators that would be screwed over. It's the staff that work there.
Oh, you mean in terms of the funding?
The funding.
The funding. But I'm talking about the scheduling of this again.
Okay.
And one of the dynamics that we've seen in the past is that when there are restrictions placed on voting, it ends up drawing a lot of cash into get out the vote measures, and it draws a lot of attention there. Now, and sometimes it renders that ineffective. We should say, though, however, it is redeploying resources from one column, that is maybe promoting people, getting people to vote for, and putting it in another, which is to get out the vote. Abbott could be afraid that this drew a lot of attention to the idea that they're preventing people from voting. This is a dynamic I was just actually explaining to my son last night, which is like when you tell somebody they can't do something, sometimes they get a little bit more adamant about doing it. And so
we saw that dynamic in Georgia.
We saw that dynamic in Georgia, and particularly this, you know, the second round of voting, certainly with there to a certain extent. I mean, you can see what happens when, I mean, A, it draws out people to vote, but again, it's costing more money. You're redeploying funds. So I think Abbott was a little bit worried about this, that I think it was, you know, it certainly drew attention. And then the other thing that these Texas lawmakers were saying is that the feds, the Democrats in Washington, need to fix this. They need to pass a bill, which coincidentally is known as S1 in the Senate.
It's available to them, already written. How convenient.
HR1 in the House. These are major pieces of legislation that have been written to protect the vote. It is And then, of course, we're into the filibuster territory.
The steak is already marinated. They just have to put it in the oven.
Now, there are two. You put it into the oven as much. Maybe you might want to put it on the grill. I'm not going to get caught up in that.
Yeah, okay. The chicken's marinated. Put it in the oven.
You might also put that on the grill. But the point being that...
You're a man.
The point is... Look, the point is that I just never put my steak in the oven. I just don't do it that way.
You know.
The point is that there's opportunity. It may be the John Lewis bill. I mean, it really depends on what President Manchin says. But we are going to see... Chuck Schumer, I think it was on Friday of last week or Thursday, basically outlined in a letter what was going to happen in June. And there was going to be a number of measures where everyone anticipates they're going to fail because they do not have the support of 10 Republicans, because nothing will get the support of 10 Republicans if it's part of the Democratic agenda. None of it.
Yeah.
And Joe Manchin learned this lesson the other day when you couldn't even get a genuinely bipartisan commission to examine what happened on January 6th. And look, I think that I don't know how to characterize it in the great scheme of things. Some people say it's overblown. The concerns, I really don't know. There are people out there who believe that we are, that this is how fascism spreads. But there is no, there cannot be any doubt, regardless of how seriously you take January 6th, that this should be something should be thoroughly investigated. We should know, was there coordination by militias? And we have evidence that there was, for them to come and assault the Capitol. We should know. Were there lawmakers who were participating in this?
There's a possibility that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert were kind of in on it, at least tangentially.
Was the president aware that the Oath Keepers were setting up stations around the country? I mean, these are legitimate questions to ask, particularly because this guy has plans to run again, particularly because in Texas this weekend... You had people calling for a coup. There are significant numbers of people in this country who believe that Donald Trump, and by significant, I mean the majority of the Republican Party, believe that Donald Trump was actually truly elected president of this country. The majority of Republicans still believe Donald Trump is the real president. This was a clip on Sunday at the Patriot Roundup Conference in that same Texas, state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way they were spending Memorial Day weekend.
This is the revamped QAnon conference, by the way.
Yes. It's the Patriot Roundup now. It is like this Q thing is... It's,
but they didn't invite the 8chan guys, the real originators of Q, very interestingly.
Taken on their own. A Marine gets up on stage with Michael Flynn, pardoned former national security advisor to the President of the United States. And
people believe he's, you know, the most connected with Q, too. So it's like a big deal for him to be at this kind of conference for these folks.
And the Marines got a question for him. Why can't we do what we did in what was done in Myanmar? Speaking of a armed coup.
I'm a simple Marine. I want to know why what happened in Myanmar can't happen here.
No reason. I mean, it should happen here. No reason. But that's right. One more.
Minimar. That's, you know, what you have in your hotel room.
That's right.
When you...
So he's encouraging. He's encouraging. He didn't come up with the idea of the coup, apparently. He's just encouraging it. Now, do I think there's going to be a coup? No. Do I think there's going to be violence around this? Yeah. Yeah, I think there is. I think we're going to see increased violence.
Well, I mean, these are the same people. So that's why I keep emphasizing the Q stuff, right? These yep. are the, it's the same energy that's being brought here, where now they're, now it's not just let's storm the Capitol and, you know, hang Mike Pence. And I guess there's still people belittling that. Now it's let's have a pre-orchestrated coup that copies a legitimate coup in another country that's happening right now, like an actual one where right. there's organization and the kidnapping of a political leader.
Right. And you're not saying the coup was legitimate. You're saying it's an actual coup. A legit coup,
yes,
right.
Yes, of course, yes.
I just want to clarify.
Yeah, I'm not legitimizing the coup attempt as something that's...
you're not encouraging coups around the world.
Yeah, no, that's... Thanks for specifying just wanted that. To, thanks.
You were using legitimate like the kids. Like legit.
Yeah, like... Right. Yeah, well, I'm a young person.
Right? Yeah, I know, I know.
Rock on, man.
I know. Speaking of other coup legitimizers, Sidney Powell... And now, look, and I want to make something clear. This is obviously, for all these people involved who are sitting on the stage, a mechanism in which to generate money. And it very well may be that 90% of why they are there is to generate money. Maybe they don't believe any of this. Maybe they believe some of it. Maybe they sort of believe it. But the point is that the people in the audience, they're spending money to go and believe that. They're not making the money. Here is Sidney Powell.
Rebranded Sidney Powell. Biker chick Sidney Powell, right? She's in a new phase of her life.
She needs the, it's freedom. Sidney Powell at that same Patriot Roundup conference.
That he can simply be reinstated, that a new inauguration date is set. And Biden is told to move out of the White House. And and President Trump should be moved back in. I'm sure there's not going to be credit for time lost, unfortunately. Because the Constitution itself sets the date for inauguration. But he should definitely get the remainder of his term and make the best of it. That's for sure.
So she's basically saying there that in a matter of the time, Trump will be reinstalled as the true president of the United States. And there are cheers of people who traveled and spent money, as you say, to go to that conference and hear that. Like, that is a thought process out there. And so then at the same conference when they're talking about let's copy what happened in Myanmar or Minibar, right? Then, like, okay, we have to kind of treat this with some semblance of, you know, let's take this seriously. This could happen another time. And as you mentioned, the seeds of stop the steal, the seeds of these votes are illegitimate, the seeds of it's illegal immigrants who are voting and the Republican Party is being screwed over by illegality in the voting systems. This has been a long con, and they've laid the groundwork in that work, and they're going to continue to try to go back to that well, and it might get increasingly more violent, which is the January 6th Commission. It may bore people. It kind of bores me a little bit, but it's important because, one, it's a wedge issue for the Democratic Party, and two, because of everything I just said.
Right. And let's also be clear here. This is going to be a problem for years.
Yeah.
This is not something that just goes away. This doesn't just go away.
And the same people who are saying that this commission is a waste of time on the left, I guess, you know, in 3 years when they're making the same arguments, they'll be talking about how crazy the right wing is when it comes to this. But like, that was part of why we needed a reckoning in this moment.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it is really, I mean, to a certain extent, it's just like bailing water. I mean, this is not going away, folks, and it's going to grow. I mean, here is CNN interviewing some of the Patriot Roundup attendees. And you know, you can go back and look at like the Glenn Beck 9/12 rallies. I mean, I guess these people are always there, but they are getting more and more conspiratorial. At those 9/12 rallies that Glenn Beck had, they were, it was just you can't pass a bill that has more than 100 pages because the people didn't even read the bill. And Barack Obama may not be, actually an American.
That's elitist to have long bills.
And now we're just going in there and normalizing coups. Here is CNN interviewing just to get a sense of like I say, doesn't matter why Sidney Powell's doing it. Doesn't matter why Michael Flynn's doing it. These people have seen Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn gets a pardon from the president. They see them on TV. There are now, not literally hundreds, but there are maybe tens of these cable TV outlets, that are perceived as cable TV outlets. I saw her on television. This is real, what she's talking about. This is the way that that folks, perceive reality. I mean, we all do it on some level where, we see it on TV. It's got to be real. I saw an expert on TV. And yet these experts are just basically calling for I don't know if it was a bloodless coup or military, but, some type of military coup. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they all have their different ideas of it. Here is Donnie O'Sullivan interviewing some of these people then talking to Anderson Cooper about it.
Biden is he's like a puppet president. The military is in charge. It's going to be like Myanmar. What's happening in Myanmar? The military is doing their own investigation. And at the right time, they're going to be restoring the republic with Trump as president.
What's going on in Myanmar country. Right now? The government took over and they're redoing the election, correct? So that could possibly happen here, possibly.
Would you like to see it happen?
Absolutely.
I would like to see it
really?
Happen.
Really?
Yes.
You know why? Because the election was stolen from us.
Donnie joins us now. So I understand Michael Flynn appears to have made additional comments about this controversy. What's he now saying?
That's right, Anderson. He is today saying that his words have been twisted somehow, that he is not actually calling for a coup. But look, I mean, you heard the comments there in that piece, and essentially this QAnon conference was devoted to overturning the results of the election. You heard Sidney Powell there talking about a potentially new inauguration day. And, this talk of a coup is something that has been circulating for months now in the QAnon conspiracy theory world that both Powell and Flynn live in. And, I spend a lot of time reading a lot of these pro-Trump forums, these QAnon forums online, and speaking to Trump supporters. And I will say of all the conspiracy theories we hear and all the different ideas, this talk from Americans about a coup, cheering on a coup and hoping for a coup in the United States is one of the most chilling things that I hear on the road. Yeah. Anderson?
Donnie O'Sullivan.
So, I mean, what this is going to... So you heard the woman repeat the Myanmar coup talking point to the CNN reporter there. This was legitimized by Michael Flynn on stage by essentially encouraging it after the question from that Marine. That's going to go back into these shady online Q forums, and it's going to be kept being recirculated and recirculated in mixed messages and secret meetings and all of this stuff, the way that they've been behaving leading up to the January 6th insurrection. And then out of nowhere, there will be some sort of violent outburst and people will go, well, where did this come from? And it's because they see guys like Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, too, as connected to Trump and thus having legitimacy. And so they're sending them signals. And even people who aren't diehard Q people, but who are in this MAGA world, they'll get fed that kind of digested conspiracy talk through Facebook, through whatever, and they'll start getting on board too. And that's how these things start. And this is what 4.0 version 4.0 of this kind of thing.
And this is why, I mean, look, The thing that we saw in Texas was that they figured out a way, at the very least, to flex their power when Democrats ostensibly have no power in the Texas state legislature. They had one leverage point that was their ability to deny quorum. The Democrats are in a situation now where they are looking to Joe Manchin, maybe Kristen Sinema. I don't know if she operates independently from Joe Manchin. I don't know if she can make. I don't know that Joe Manchin might be the person who could deny them. Phil, I don't know if Kristen Sinema can do that just by the nature of her state that she's in. She doesn't have someone to her right. It may be a problem in a state that is turning blue, or at least more so than West Virginia. But Joe Biden needs to figure out how he can marshal the resources of the presidency of the United States to get Joe Manchin on board with A, reforming the filibuster in some manner that allows for things like S1 to be brought up, the For the People Act,
The PRO Act.
Bills that will not only be important for people in this country, but also important for to enhance Democratic power. Small D and large D.
And this is when I get like legitimately pissed, because the Biden administration says they care after every mass shooting about getting gun control passed, right? Not even that Manchin would pass anything substantively, but there's zero shot with the filibuster in place. They say they care about ending police massacre of black people, of civilians in this country, but they don't take the necessary steps to do it, yet they're still fundraising off of it. And that's what makes me so annoyed about the Democratic Party's posture on this, for many reasons, yes. But it really is quite cynical, because there's email blasts every time there's a mass shooting. Gun control, Sandy Hook, what happened at Marjorie Stone High School down in Florida, right? There's all of this talk, but all of that is to morally posture so they can fundraise from suburban, upper middle class types. And then they don't take the necessary steps to do it. So if that, these are like the easiest issues for the Democratic Party, Biden should be flexing, as you say, every ounce of his muscle to get the filibuster reform to happen, so that they can not just be all talk and all let's milk the Democratic base for money on this. Because I really do believe that's a much of the driving, driving the conversation behind those two topics in the lawmaker circles.
There is a op-ed in the LA Times today by Erwin Chemerinsky and Bert Newborn. Bert Newborn is a professor of civil liberties at New York University School of Law. Chemerinsky is the dean of the UC Berkeley School of Law. And they write, there is a clear next step in changing the Senate filibuster. Vice President Kamala Harris, as presiding officer of the Senate, can and should declare the current Senate filibuster rule unconstitutional. Nixon did it in 1957. It was reaffirmed by Hubert Humphrey and Nelson Rockefeller subsequent to that. It was that ruling which was the basis of the Democratic-controlled Senate in 2013 and the Republican-controlled Senate in 2017. For changing the filibuster requirements for executive and judicial nominees. And ultimately, what it comes down to is equal suffrage in the Senate. Article 5 of the Constitution and the 17th Amendment, which changed the way that the Senate was elected. The 17th Amendment preserved the founders' decision to give each state two senators with equal voting rights. Now, we all know that that is still it is undemocratic. You have a state like Wyoming that has 65 times more voting power than California, right?
Yes,
California has 40 million residents. Yeah. Wyoming has something like, 500,000-600,000. And however, that's the way it was set up, and it was reaffirmed in the 17th Amendment. What was not reaffirmed in the 17th Amendment and has never been affirmed is the filibuster, which makes it even more unconstitutional. The Senate has the authority to create or does not have the authority by use of the filibuster to create even more unfairness than already exists. So there is easy legal precedent for this filibuster reform. We got to take a quick break. We come back. I just want to finish up with a leaked memo that could be good news. I don't want to get too excited about a memo, but good news in terms of immigration, at least in terms of what Joe Biden can do unilaterally. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. So briefly, New York Times reports on a memo that has been obtained by the New York Times. I imagine it was leaked. 46-page draft. It's a draft that maps out the Biden administration's plan to significantly expand the legal immigration system, including methodically reversing Donald Trump's reforms or attempts to dismantle it. And we should say, caveat, it's a draft. It's a blueprint. This is only
draft, memo, both caveats.
Exactly. It's from May 3rd, DHS plan. A lot of it seems to be increasing numbers, but our friend, frequent IMer of the show, Ronald Reagan, who has a podcast called Redirect, is an immigration lawyer. And so much of what has happened is there have been administrative obstacles that have been placed that make it much, much harder for people to gain immigration status. It seems like the plan is to streamline a lot of these procedures, which is going to make it a lot easier. The proof will be in the pudding. We will talk more about this as the days go on and the pudding begins to become more gelatinous.
Moldy?
No. Like form.
Oh, rats. Don't really know how pudding works because I don't know if you realize this. I'm not 70 years old.
Yeah. Well, for us old folks, still enjoy a good pudding. Until tomorrow, we will see you again if you if you're leaving us, if you're watching us on Peacock.
Good way to end.
Yep. Yeah. For those of you sticking around, more pudding talk.
I thought you were going to break out Jell-O. Isn't it amazing that in, what, like the 70s and 80s, they had entire Jell-O cookbooks and recipes?
I believe it. I
did
Jell-O.
Enjoy a good Jell-O pack as a kid.
Yeah, of course. I've gotten back into pudding recently. I'm not kidding.
I mean, you brought it up out of nowhere.
Well, I said proof is in the pudding.
Oh, okay.
But
I haven't had enough of this coffee.
Oh, it's Tuesday. I forgot it was Tuesday, too. So feeling like a Monday. Folks, just remember, it is your support that makes this show possible. When you join the Majority Report, you not only get the free show, free of commercials, you also, maybe in the future, will get pudding recipes. Become a member today. Join the MajorityReport.com. Also, don't forget AM Quickie. Great way to stay in touch with the news every morning, 6-7 minutes. We just give you the straight, the quick straight read. And also, don't forget, join our Discord, majoritydiscord.com. A lot of great stuff going on in the Discord. And justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Look who's here. Nomi.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Oh, my gosh. It turns out the proof is in the pudding. Not the pudding.
No, it's... You were right.
Someone's saying the putting.
The putting. P-U-T-T. Putting. Like they're talking about, I'm on the IMs too. They're talking about like golf.
I thought the proof was in the pudding.
Yeah, it's like you taste the pudding to see if you made the pudding correctly.
Yeah.
Also, right? Banana pudding is delicious. Banana cream pudding is amazing. I'm going to go get one after the show.
Gross. You people are so gross. Pudding is the most disgusting thing.
Banana
pudding is the worst word.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty anti. I'm not anti pudding, but Sam's been saying that he's been having a lot of it lately, which, you know.
So it used to be, the original version was the proof. The original version is the proof of the pudding is in the eating, but people couldn't be bothered to be so. That was too laborious.
Uh huh.
So they just cut it down to like. The proof is in the pudding. In other words, the quality of the pudding.
Right. Right.
I'm just very confused about this. How did this line catch on? Did that many people care about pudding? Did they not have other, I mean, chocolate mousse, chocolate cake? There's so many better desserts. What is it about this that caught on?
Pudding's good.
Ugh.
All right. What do you got on your
hospital
show?
Hospital food.
What do you got on your show today? Are you doing your show from some type of like
in a subway?
Like a boiler room? It sounds like.
Is there a sound issue?
Yeah, it's
you. Hell, I've been sitting here the whole time. I think it's because I moved my microphone down just like a half an inch. Is this
better? Yeah, it's the room noise thing.
Yeah.
The air conditioning. Damn it.
Okay.
I don't understand. I've been taping from here. No one ever said this. Take Sam to tell me. All right, I'll turn off the air conditioning in a second. I'm just going to die because it's 125 degrees. Thanks. Jonathan Rapping is on. He's going to be talking about his new book, Gideon's Promise, a public defender's movement to transform criminal justice from Beacon Press. And then we have Napoleon the Legend and Joshua Kahn Russell on to talk later about all the news of the day. But I'm going to go turn off the air conditioning. Thank God it's a ponytail day because it's hot.
It's definitely
just make sure your Zoom settings are right before you. Burn yourself
a lot. Yeah, yeah, I think there's something. Maybe that's it.
Definitely coming in on your microphone, though, right? It's not coming from your computer sound?
No, it's coming from my microphone. This is so weird. I haven't moved my setup here in like a week. All right, we'll figure it out.
All right. Matt, what's happening in the Matt Leckin world of universe of media?
Well, yesterday on the Literary Hangover Twitch feed, I played a little bit Ultimate General Civil War. I played the Battle of Fredericksburg, and we actually did much better than the Union Army did typically or historically. And so check that out. We also watched a little documentary. What's that?
Sounds awesome.
It was great. It's super fun. That is a very fun game. You get sucked into a nice long battle that has all of them, as all the Bull Runs, Gettysburg, all that stuff. So you can check that out. And then got Kurt Hackbarth talking about Mexico on Left Reckoning on Tuesday night. So look forward to that.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, all I'm doing is like just trying to figure out, like, how can I squeeze that into my life?
What?
That kind of gameplay.
Oh, I know. But I don't know if I see that in your future.
It's not like I'm doing anything else that I'm like.
You're working all the time.
I know it.
And
I know
you got,
that's what
like,
I'm saying.
Like, two baseball obligations.
I know. I got baseball season to end. All right, folks. Quick break. Head into the fun half. Left is best. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. Are you nervous? You're a little bit upset. You're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8. 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. Are you guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.